Today on Doomed! It was the first Bernie versus Biden one-on-one Democratic primary debate. And it happened at a time when a pandemic is affecting the entire world. And if there was ever a case to be made for the United States to adopt a Medicare for all single payer system, now is that time. And Bernie made that case tonight at the CNN Univision debate. Did it make a difference? Let's discuss. Folks, pulling myself up on the screen here on the YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, and Facebook live streams. How are you all doing tonight? It is craziness. Craziness. What's going on in the world right now? I mean, here in New York, Bill de Blasio just announced that, earlier he announced that public schools in New York City, the last major city to not cancel public school, officially canceled until April 20th, I believe the date is. That's a month. More than a month of kids being out of school here in New York, at least. We don't know for sure yet. That's the date. That's just the current plan. Also, here in Queens specifically, there was supposed to be a special election for the Queensboro president that has also been delayed, postponed. We don't know when. That was supposed to be March 24th, I believe, like next week, obviously, or the week after that. Obviously, too early to do any of that, though. So that has been delayed. We also have just this late breaking news just now that Bill de Blasio is closing down. I don't know if it's appropriate to say he's closing down, but he is forcing all basically places, venues, food establishments, movie theaters, bars to be shut down. As of Tuesday, 9 a.m., places may open if you do takeout and delivery. People cannot eat on the premises, though. It is a big deal what's going on right now with coronavirus. The pandemic is growing, which makes me think that, you know, all these ideas that in a week or two or even a month, everything will go back to how it was, doesn't seem to be the case. I believe Italy just announced that they had the single highest death toll on Sunday, and it's still today. It's now 11 p.m. here on the East Coast after the Democratic debate. As for me, I see people are asking, how am I doing? I'm doing all right. I had a cough. But it didn't look like it was related to coronavirus, and I'm going to continue to believe that because it's going away. It's not as bad as it was, and I had that cough for a while. It was the doctor I went to see said it was very likely allergy related. Right before that, my partner and my daughter was sick, but again, don't believe they had it because they are both getting better as well. My son just developed a cough now, but I believe he just got whatever we all got. You know, this is peak allergy season, you know, where we're still in flu season. So, you know, that's the extra fear. You know, you go outside, if it wasn't coronavirus, then people would be coughing and sneezing now anyway. But you go outside now and you see people coughing and sneezing with coronavirus and you automatically think, does that person have coronavirus? You know, it's crazy. Did I just break the news for people? Oh my God, I'm sorry, Mara. Mara on YouTube just said, I work at a bar in NYC. Matt just broke the news. I'm about to be unemployed. I'm sorry for breaking that news. But it is the truth. It's honestly the right move because what's the point of... I had said on the last episode of the show that when I was talking to Jared Holt about the coronavirus outbreak at CPAC, I was like, you know, what should really happen? And I understand all the issues. Obviously, I say this with the idea that the government steps in and makes sure that everyone is taken care of. The best way to defeat this is literally to shut everything down for a month. Just everything needs to pause for a month. I mean, it's just what needs to be done. Literally, the only thing that should be open is hospitals and food so people could eat. Like grocery, and I'm also fine with food establishments staying open in terms of, you know, only takeout or delivery. But I mean, everything needs to really just go on pause. I mean, there needs to be a moratorium on rent, moratorium on evictions, moratorium on bills, period. No matter what it is, student loans, credit card, everything needs to be put on pause by the government and just make sure people are taking care of what the necessities. You know, food, water, make sure the utilities are running, make sure the internet is up. It seems pretty simple in terms of just what needs to be done here. It's just the difficulty is just having the capacity to actually act on these things that are seem simple enough to do. I mean, let's get to the debate now. Because there'll be plenty of time to talk about coronavirus, and tonight's the only time to talk about the debate. Now, first off, actually, one more coronavirus-related thing that fits into the bit to the debate. I cannot believe they're going ahead with the primaries on Tuesday. I am sorry, but I know there are people saying that, oh, if you cancel the primaries, then you're sending a bad message. This is uncharted territory here. I mean, but the fact remains, I'm not saying to cancel them from happening. I'm saying they need to be pushed back. There's plenty of time between now and November. There's no reason why these primaries can't all just happen in June. July, worst case scenario, I think. I mean, that's plenty of time to still have the convention. I mean, this is just basic, I mean, common sense here. We're going to have people all showing up in four different states, across the state, across four different states, to vote, all touching the same machines, all touching the same doors to enter, you know, it just, come on. They should be postponed. And this is the one too. The idea that it would send a message to Trump that he could cancel the November elections or whatever. I mean, come January 20th, I think it is, whatever the inauguration day is, next year. Whether there's an election or not, his term is up. So, I mean, he would be forced to have an election before January. I mean, the message here we're sending is to go out on Tuesday when we're telling everybody else to stay put and stay inside and don't come into contact with people at the very least if you do go outside. I mean, I still do think it's important if you can. You know, if you have a balcony, like we see all the wonderful people in Italy and all those Italy videos coming out, go out on your balcony, please. Get some fresh air. It's healthy. Get some sunlight. If you can go for a walk around the block without coming into contact with people. If you have to go to the store, go to the store if it's necessary. I mean, try not to, especially if you're in the age range where you could get hurt, where it affects you. Especially, I mean, again, we don't know who has symptoms. Because we don't know who has coronavirus because the symptoms cannot show in certain people. And there are cases of people in their 20s and 30s getting ill and sick from this. But, I mean, if you need something, you need something. I mean, I've seen wonderful solidarity in the city with signs going up saying, you know, I'm a healthy young person who can go out and I have no underlying issues. I can go out. If you're an older person in the most vulnerable age range, give me a call. I'll try to see the signs up to put their number. Let me know. I'll get you what you need and I'll deliver it to you. I mean, that's what this is all about, you know? So, I mean, really, we should be putting everything into perspective here. This is, I mean, it really is crazy to see that with all of the modern marvels and wonders and all the technology, all it takes is for a new bug to come and boom, we're back to how it was. I mean, granted, yes, we're lucky in many aspects in terms of medication and what could be done for people who get sick and being able to be connected like we are right now over the internet. But I mean, this is a pandemic. And other than these things that are making us more comfortable, I mean, it's crazy to see that. I mean, this is happening in 2020. All right, well, let's talk about the debate now. This was Bernie's chance to make his case to the public during the coronavirus pandemic about why he is the best for the country, why he's better than Biden, and obviously better than Trump. And I will say that Bernie made a good case. I just don't know that it's going to be enough. I mean, that's just the sad reality. Joe Biden didn't have a complete meltdown. He held his own in terms of not coming off unable to debate. I mean, if you watched and you knew the facts of what was being discussed, the sad thing is that Biden lied a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. He lied about his own record. He lied about Bernie's record. He just did not tell the truth on numerous occasions tonight. I wish I was able to grab them all. I was just trying to keep up with the debate as it happened because it was just, you know, it was a one-on-one debate. So basically, there's no time with, we don't have a moment where Pete and Amy are getting snippy with each other. So we can take in what the front runners were saying and collect our thoughts. And, you know, this was basically really issue after issue after issue. And it's good that we got that. But the enormous amount of lies here from Biden really should be disqualifying for anyone who cares about that type of thing. I mean, if the idea is you want someone who isn't Trump-like, who isn't Donald Trump, I mean, that's Biden's whole case, right? That he's not Donald Trump. He's the best to take on Donald Trump. I mean, tonight was a horrible, poor showing for someone who's trying to portray himself that way. Really. So let's start with the beginning of this all. And I think that Bernie Sanders started out extremely strong. He, you know, for people who complain that Bernie's not intersectional enough, tonight you saw the intersectionality of Bernie Sanders. You saw how he was able to take all of these issues that the coronavirus pandemic has brought to the forefront here. Things he's been hammering for years that the coronavirus has now really shining a light on, like a spotlight in all of the people who've denied these issues. That's shining a flashlight right in their face saying, look at this. He connected it all together. He connected, you know, how healthcare is affected by this. And he connected how this is affecting people and their relationship with the workplace. And how employers treat workers, and how people don't have protections in the workplace. And he brought up how this affects how we are attached to basically, you know, how not only is our healthcare attached to our employer, but also everything else. Look, if people can't go to work because of a pandemic, how are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to pay their rent? He went through each and every issue. Childcare. Public education, period. He went through each and every one of these issues, and he basically showed how they were all entwined. Biden did the opposite. He basically just talked about coronavirus as it is right now, a problem that we're just facing for the first time right here, right now, in the now. And the major thing to get out of this is the coronavirus and its connection to Donald Trump and his administration's failings. Obviously, that's true, and Bernie Sanders brought that up as well, but to just take that from this is just mind-blowing. And the foreign policy portion of tonight, really, and I know Americans don't give a shit, but I don't think anything was more telling than how Bernie Sanders viewed it and how Joe Biden viewed it. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But it was just a complete unraveling of the Biden view. It just, honestly, when I heard him bring up China and Iran and Russia, truly, it made me question for the first time, really, how anyone who wanted to defeat Trump could even vote for this guy. Because this is some sort of nativist, Trump garbage, really. Just really gross. Truly. And we'll get to that in a little bit. A major issue to me tonight that Bernie really was spot on, obviously, was Medicare for All. And Bernie always brings up Medicare for All, but tonight especially so, because of how it would have affected how we're able to treat people who are fighting coronavirus. Joe Biden brought up, and I see people cheering this because they have no idea what they're talking about, and truthfully, they're fucking idiots. Joe Biden brought up how Italy has a single-payer system, and look, they're being decimated by coronavirus. There is no argument that Medicare for All would have stopped coronavirus. There is none. Coronavirus is hitting every single country. Take a look at the map. Every country is being hit by this pandemic. North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Australia. You're seeing it everywhere. So the idea that Medicare for All, any healthcare system, would have avoided it outright is just a bullshit argument that no one's making. Let's stick with the Italy example. And please, if you've seen someone say this, point them to this part of this conversation here we're having. He said, look what's happening in Italy. They have a single-payer system, and they are being decimated by this. Okay. All right. Yes. Here is the difference. Italy is deciding how to deal with coronavirus. The real issue here is that Italy is now over capacity. You see that whole thing about thing about the curve, where basically the idea of social distancing, keeping away from each other, not going out, not frequenting places with a lot of people. The idea is that by doing so, coronavirus is still spreading, but by doing so, we're slowing the spread, which means that people go to the hospital when they get it, they're treated, they're able to be on their way home. You know, they're cured. They're able to go home after getting better, and then obviously, new people come in and take up those beds who are being treated for coronavirus. The way it is right now, it's just a bunch of people are getting this, and the hospitals are not able to deal with all these people at once. There's not enough hospital beds. So what Italy is doing to deal with this, with their single-payer system, is that they're looking at the people who can be saved. People who have the best chance of coming out of this alive and well. And they're treating those people. And if they see someone who is extremely ill with underlying issues that it looks like they're not going to make it, then unfortunately, they're not going to give that bed to that person over the person who they truly believe will be back on their feet and home with their family. It's horrible that has to happen, but that's the situation they're in. That is not being determined by where anyone lives, by their gender, by their race, by their class. It is simply a matter of who can truly be helped by their healthcare system when they only have the capacity to help this many people. What you're going to see in the U.S. when this happens here, and by all accounts, we are following the same path that Italy followed, because by all accounts, people here in this country are not taking this serious enough. and they are not social distancing. They're still going out to the bars. I just saw a photo of Disney World, their last night open. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people crammed together to watch the last fireworks display or whatever. Ridiculous. You see it in the airports from the pictures that came out there. People crammed together trying to get home. Just a failure of the U.S. to have that happen. But looks like we're going to follow the trajectory of what Italy found themselves in. And what's going to happen here, without Medicare for All, where not everyone is equal under our healthcare system, like everyone is equal under a single payer healthcare system when it comes to healthcare, is that those beds are going to go to people who have a better healthcare plan. What you're going to see is that the rich are going to be better taken care of than the poor. The better insured are going to be taken care of better than the underinsured or not insured. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, you already are seeing it with the tests. Did you know? I truly was baffled by this. You know how those NBA players, I think it was two people from the Utah Jazz, were tested for coronavirus and that they were tested positive, and that's what shut down the NBA? I thought that they paid for those tests from a private company or something. Still, it shows you the dynamic between if you've got the money, you can pay for it. But at the very least, I thought it didn't take from what was available to the public, the already minuscule amount of testing done there. That's not true. That's not the case. The testing that was done on them came from the public testing. So you have here people with the means taking the place of the people, you know, who should be tested without the means. This is what's going to happen here. This is what's going to happen here. It's not going to come down to who's got the better shot at survival. It's going to come down to who's got the better insurance. So when you talk about how Medicare for All wouldn't have stopped coronavirus, of course it wouldn't have. No one is saying that. Medicare for All would have evened out the playing field. Hell, here's another thought. Medicare for All maybe would have helped those underlying issues some of the very vulnerable have that makes them very vulnerable to coronavirus. Maybe they would have been able to deal with those underlying issues much earlier and have a healthier immune system, have a healthier lifestyle, have a healthier body. I mean, frankly, no one in any other country is worried about their health insurance covering the coronavirus treatments, testing. All you hear from here on this side, if they could get tested, is that. It's just ridiculous, truly. That's an argument. Truly, like, baby brains, like a child, would argue better than that. Just ridiculous. And what's another topic here to discuss? Oh, here we go. Finally, this is going off coronavirus now, but this is a major part of the debate. Bernie finally hit Joe Biden on the debate stage for his long history of advocating, for cutting Social Security. And he consistently hammered Joe Biden over it. And every time Biden tried to avoid answering Bernie's question on it, Bernie basically flat out asked him, is it true that you were on the floor in Congress advocating for Social Security cuts? And Biden lied over and over again. And Bernie consistently stayed on top of it and said, no. Answer this question. To the point where Joe Biden actually, in a roundabout way, but he did do it, finally got to admit that he put cutting Social Security on the table. He did it by basically saying everything was on the table, but everything included Social Security. And it was a major part of this debate. Because, again, here we are, and this is actually maybe one of the failures of Bernie in this debate. After every one of these issues that wasn't directly brought up in relation to the coronavirus, he should have went around and brought it back to coronavirus. What would our seniors be doing right now when they're told to stay indoors, especially them, and not go out? What would they be doing right now without Social Security? I mean, think about how fucked the working people are right now. If you're not able to work from home, if your job is a service industry job, if your job requires you, you don't have a built-in salary, you know, you have, you're not guaranteed pay. You're an hourly worker at a fast food restaurant or at a bar or at any other hourly place. You know, maybe you child care. Maybe you teach art to kids after school. It's not directly part of the education system. There's many, 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 many jobs like that. A lot of administrative positions are like that. A lot of labor positions are like that. I doubt many people are going to be having their gardens tended to. Or they're going to be doing any kitchen remodeling right now. Senior citizens, luckily, as the most vulnerable to this disease, have Social Security to depend on. And if Joe Biden had his way, he would have cut that Social Security to the point where people would have been earning less from it, and there would be people who were ineligible for it. If you raise the age, coronavirus isn't going to go, oh, the age is now higher in Social Security? Okay, the people who aren't eligible for Social Security are less vulnerable now. I mean, I'll make them more vulnerable, or less vulnerable now, too. I mean, the real thing here, the real thing that gets me here is that people aren't going to make these connections. Even when Bernie laid it out. I'm already seeing it online. It's just going over people's heads because they just don't get it. If you're not following this, you don't get it. If you don't understand why they use certain words, how Joe Biden doesn't have to say he'll veto Medicare for All. He'll just say everything but the word veto to signal he's going to veto Medicare for All. If you don't get the positions these politicians take, because politics is a friggin' game to you and only mattered when Donald Trump came to office, and before that, it didn't matter to you because you weren't directly affected by it or you didn't give a shit. Or if you're one of those people tonight who are watching the debate and your discourse, your addition to the discourse was, oh, two angry old white guys yelling at each other, because you don't get the fundamental difference between those two angry old white men, then you're just out of your league here. You don't understand. And it pains me to say that, because never in my life did I think that more people getting into politics would result into more people fundamentally misunderstanding and not getting it. And out there, though, making decisions based on thinking they get it. I'm not even talking about voters, because I truly hate the idea of low info voters. And I want to make a video specifically on this, because I think when people say that, black people in the South are voting a lot for in large numbers for Joe Biden because they're low info voters, I think that's bullshit, actually, because I actually think they have lots of information when they go vote. They just have information from their bubble. We all have that information from our bubble. It's why Bernie Sanders supporters were blindsided by what happened after Nevada. because we also were in our own information bubble. I think there are low info voters, and I think there are those people who are online right now who are cheering on the Russia sanctions question, because that's bullshit. That's not fucking a relevant question. We'll get to the foreign policy thing in a second now. That's basically the Democratic Party taking advantage of you being a low info voter, not having the information on the Russia sanctions. But no, those black voters in the South were high on information from their bubbles. They heard from their lawmakers who they trust. Jim Clyburn in South Carolina is a perfect example. They took in his information. They were highly informed based on that information. They took in the information of Joe Biden being the vice president to Barack Obama, and they really respect and like Barack Obama, and they remembered how Joe Biden was a good vice president to Barack Obama. They took in a lot of information of what their communities say about Joe Biden, what their churches say about Joe Biden. They weren't low-info voters in the same way that Bernie Sanders supporters who were blindsided by Bernie's weakness with certain communities weren't low-info voters. They were in a bubble. We have our bubbles. The point is we have to get out of the bubble. So let me just wanted to make that straight here. But really, really stunning to watch this shit, really. With people truly not identifying how we're not watching two old white men yelling at each other. We're watching one Jewish man who would be the first Jewish president of the United States advocating for things he's advocated for decades in a time where those things have never proved him more right. And we're watching one old white guy who is consistently getting it all wrong, except for the fact that he made, I guess, a more winning argument to folks in terms of how he would better face Donald Trump. That is truly Bernie's biggest flaw. That's where he dropped the ball, if you want to say so, because it's the truth, because people view Biden as the better person to face Trump. I don't believe it. I think the facts aren't going to bear out to show that either. I think the policies that they advocate for show who is the better person to face Donald Trump. But as for directly making the direct correlation from Biden to Trump, Bernie messed up when it comes to Bernie versus Trump. He didn't make that argument better. Oh, this part. If we want to talk about how it was always an uphill battle for Bernie Sanders to really use a debate to springboard back like a Biden would be able to, then nothing was more obvious to that. Nothing showed that more. Oh, I just realized I forgot to tweet out the YouTube link. Let me, there's a lot of people on YouTube anyway, so that's good. Let me just do this really quick. Live now, talking them debate. All right, thank you for your patience there. If you hoped that a debate would even the playing field, I mean, nothing showed more how that was a futile effort than this specific moment from the CNN moderators. So, we're back on Social Security now. Bernie Sanders is laying it out here. He's absolutely blasting Joe Biden for his long history of calling for Social Security cuts. And Biden's lying, straight up lying about it, saying it's not true, he never said that. When there are and Bernie brought this up, go to YouTube, multiple instances on video of Biden advocating for cutting Social Security and Medicare. So, Bernie's blasting Biden for Social Security cuts. And then a CNN moderator brings up to Bernie. I believe she even says something like, all right, well, you want to bring out the Social Security cuts, Bernie. What about this? And she brings up a single line that Bernie Sanders wrote in 1996 about adjustments to Social Security. Now, the funny thing here is that it's a bullshit argument because they're contorting what he wrote. Because, and then don't take it from me, take it from CNN's own Andrew Kaczynski at KFile on Twitter, who fact-checked his own CNN colleagues who were moderating the debate. The adjustments Bernie was talking about to Social Security was not cutting Social Security in terms of what he wrote in 1996, but increasing taxes on the wealthy. And why did Bernie want to do that? To expand and strengthen Social Security. Bernie Sanders, you can say what you want about Bernie Sanders. The one thing you'll never find about Bernie Sanders is him ever advocating to cut Social Security. But they bring up this line to sort of fact check Bernie Sanders, sort of like a gotcha, aha. But you wanted this too, Bernie, when indeed he didn't. But no fact checking of Joe Biden, who's lying to everyone's faces when they have video evidence. Why didn't any moderator jump in and go, well, Biden, that's not true. Bernie's telling facts here. We have you on video advocating for cutting Social Security. I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, I do understand why they, but I don't understand. I mean, let me get this completely straight. I understand why they would do this. But I don't understand why it's so hard for people watching this to get. Like, fucking pay attention. Literally. You're on the internet, tweeting or whatever. Literally watch the videos of Joe Biden advocating for cutting Social Security. There are multiple instances of it. It's not just one video. It's not just a video that was taken out of context. It is multiple videos over a long period of time of him advocating for Social Security cuts. Not out of context. Just truly astounding to watch. And that is why no debate will matter. Because Bernie can get it all right. He could absolutely get it all right. But things will be twisted and contorted so that to people who are just tuning in, to people whose political mind was birthed in 2016, they just don't get it. And they won't get it. And that's just what it is. Mighty Mouse pointing out that my baby is crying. Yes, I know my baby's crying. I have it taken care of. I'm doing the stream. My partner is here. I'm not a single dad, thankfully. She's taking care of it while I do the stream. We take turns. We get our time to deal with these things. We got two kids. Get along great. When I do the stream, she's got it covered. When she needs to do things, I got it covered. We're good. I appreciate, though, the concern. Let's talk about the next thing here. Another major point from this debate that I want to focus on is, where is, hold on, let me just pull this up. Oh my God, this. Another huge lie from Joe Biden. Is he said he basically had nothing to do with the bankruptcy bill. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And my takeaway from this that I wanted to bring up is Elizabeth Warren supporters. The bankruptcy bill is what brought Elizabeth Warren into the political process. Everyone who knows the trajectory of Elizabeth Warren's career knows that her advocacy against this bankruptcy bill and her infamous fight with Joe Biden over this bankruptcy bill is what brought her to the political stage. It's what inspired the Senate run that brought her to where she is today. And here you have Joe Biden gaslighting you, saying that he had nothing to do with the bankruptcy bill. It's just astounding. And he wasn't, there was no fact checking of Joe Biden. Again, no moderator brought up how, excuse me, Mr. Biden, but, but this is just not true. Or, excuse me, Mr. Biden, we have your previous position right here, and then espouse what that position was. It's just unbelievable. Oh, this was the climate change debate. I mean, while we're talking about coronavirus, I mean, I don't think there's probably any more existential threat barreling down the road to us than climate change. I mean, come on. What we're seeing now with coronavirus, I mean, be prepared to live it all again in a whole different way with climate change. And Joe Biden, frankly, his climate plan is not up to the challenge. And a great moment from tonight was when Bernie Sanders, well, Joe Biden brought up how, you know, first things first, we got to get back into the Paris Accord. And Bernie Sanders scoffed at the idea. He said, Paris Accord, who cares about that? And he's absolutely right. It's a non-binding agreement between countries to do the bare minimum. We are frankly well past that. Paris Accord, just because Trump got out of it, people are going to act like that's some sort of major climate change policy? It is not. Obviously, it's bad that Trump got out of it. Obviously, it's a shame that we were not, no longer part of it. But that is not a climate change policy. That's literally the bare minimum you can do. Is get back into a bare minimum, non-binding agreement. And Biden laughed when Bernie said that. Biden has an F rating from major climate advocacy groups. Bernie Sanders' plan is consistently heralded as the standard bearer of climate change plans of any presidential candidate. It is the one that puts the most funding into it. It is the one that understands the levity of the situation. It takes it with the utmost sincerity of the seriousness of the issue. And any other plan simply did not come close. It's why I find it exasperating when people say, what Biden should really do is he should adopt the Jay Inslee plan that Warren also adopted. Fucking idiots. Truthfully. The idea that Jay Inslee successfully branded himself as the climate change guy. Make no doubt about it. Jay Inslee is an ally in the climate fight. But the idea that the Inslee plan is the standard bearer simply because when he was in the primary for those few months, he just basically branded himself as the climate change guy, when all along we've had someone in the race who's advocated for climate change more so than anyone else, and with the better plan than anybody else. It's always just hit me as ridiculous. If you want to take climate change seriously, you vote for Bernie Sanders. If you're a candidate who wants to defeat Bernie Sanders in the primary, but want to show people you take climate change seriously, then you come up with a better plan than Bernie, which no one has even come close. Or you adopt the standard bearer, which is the Bernie Sanders climate change plan. It's always, like, literally, like, my blood boils. Where the same people who always go, oh, Bernie Sanders always talks about the same issues. Oh, all we ever hear from is Medicare for all, income inequality, climate change. Those same people. What did they do when they hear Jay Inslee? Oh, that guy, he's so smart. Oh, what a great climate plan. He's climate daddy. Oh, he knows the seriousness of climate change. And this isn't a knock on Jay Inslee. It's a knock on the fucking idiots, truthfully. Just unbelievable. I'm telling you guys, get ready for it. Whenever Medicare for All happens, regardless of the fact that Medicare for All, when it eventually happens, will be, there'll be no person more responsible for it than Bernie Sanders. It doesn't matter who came before Bernie. It won't matter who came after Bernie. Bernie Sanders single-handedly changed the debate on climate change. He single-handedly changed the conversation. Not just about climate change. He changed the conversation so it became about climate change. I'm sorry, excuse me. We're talking climate, and then we started going segue to Medicare for All. Let me back that up. When Medicare for All happens, it won't matter who advocated before Bernie Sanders. It won't matter who advocated for it after Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders changed the conversation about Medicare for All. And he didn't just change the conversation on Medicare for All. He made the conversation about Medicare for All. And they will, mark my words, they will absolutely, mark my words, try to completely erase Bernie Sanders from that equation. Get ready for it. You're going to get so fucking angry when it happens. But mark my words, they will do that. They will 100% pretend Bernie Sanders had nothing to do with Medicare for All happening when it eventually comes to pass. All right, let's get to, it's getting late. It's almost midnight on the East Coast. Let's get to the last few points of the debate. Let's talk about the foreign policy, segment of the debate. And what that basically amounted to was they brought up what Bernie Sanders said about Cuba, which is also what Barack Obama said about Cuba, even though Biden tried to point out somehow that what Obama said about Cuba was different than what Bernie said about Cuba when they said the same thing about Cuba's education system. And then Biden, in an attempt to attack Bernie, attacked Bernie on his positions on China, attacked Bernie on his positions on Cuba again. He attacked Bernie for the Sandinistas thing. Are you kidding me? He attacked Bernie on the Russia sanctions. He attacked Bernie on the Soviet Union. Let's go through some of these things. The Sandinista things were brought up so many times, and I'm just frankly... I mean, you basically, if you were knocking his position on the Sandinistas, you're basically backing a extremist right-wing, basically death cult on the other side. So I'm not even going to fucking waste any more time on that. The China thing we're going to talk about, because it's relevant to coronavirus. Bernie brought up how, you know, he thinks China is... authoritarian, and so it's horrible, it's over there, but to not point out that they've lifted people out of extreme poverty over the years is just hiding truth. And Biden brought up what they're doing to the Muslim population there. Of course, that's horrible too. And Bernie covered that with what he said about China being an authoritarian dictatorship, practically. But the idea that you're going to treat China, a world superpower, as some sort of enemy in that way is just fucking like, why aren't we just with the Republicans and being xenophobic? Why isn't Biden up there calling it the Wuhan virus or the Chinese virus? I mean, I see people defending Biden actually saying how it's China's fault for coronavirus. That's just like, just come out and say you're xenophobic. I mean, seriously, just come out and do that. Did China try to hide it? Yes, they did. Is that horrible? Yes, they did. You know who else tried to downplay and hide coronavirus? The US government. Look where we are now. Here's the difference, though. When it did come out, and China could no longer hide it, they actually took the appropriate actions to stop it. And now, China is, and when they announced there's a new coronavirus, when they announced there's a new coronavirus case, guess what? It's not domestic. It's someone who comes into the country with coronavirus. They are handling it. Are there probably many more cases of coronavirus than we know? Possibly. I mean, are we saying that China is good and they are great and we should be saying they're, or they, you know, they didn't do anything wrong? Absolutely not. They fumbled the ball a lot too. But the idea that there's some sort of our enemy in this and they're responsible for a virus like that is just ridiculous. If anything, we've known about this for months. The rest of the world messed up. We didn't take this seriously enough. We did not prepare. China was practically foreshadowing what's going to happen. They were couldn't have, I mean, once it came out, they couldn't have made it any more clearer to us. Hey, this is coming. Prepare now. Get ready now. And we dropped the ball. We dropped the ball, man. We dropped the ball. And what's happening now with coronavirus? China is stepping up to the plate, and they're looking like the true world leader. I mean, you can say what you want about them, but the fact of the matter is they're coming out, they're sending aid to Italy. They're sending doctors and supplies to Italy. I mean, they're going to come out as the country that stepped up and acted as the leader in this situation. It's just how the world will view it. Truthfully, it's just what's going to happen. You can say, you could have you could analyze what that means. You could analyze that they don't actually care. It's all for their own propaganda. And you could make that case, whatever, however you could make that case. But the fact of the matter is there's Chinese doctors with supplies, with experience dealing with coronavirus, boots on the ground in Italy now to aid the situation there. And no matter what happens, that's what people will remember. What's the, oh, and the Soviet Union thing. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Biden bringing up Bernie praising the Soviet Union. First of all, he was part of a sister city as the mayor of Burlington, Vermont. Burlington was part of a sister city program that was heralded at the time by even Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan encouraged it. Many major cities did that at the time and still hold that relationship to this day with the Soviet Union. The idea that you would not say anything positive about the Soviet Union is baffling to me. For one, here's a major positive about the Soviet Union. We don't really learn it this way in American history here in the U.S. But fact of the matter is, the Soviets defeated the Nazis. The communists defeated the Nazis. It's just that simple. When the rest of Europe, when Europe was losing and falling, one of the last bastions over there to fight the Nazis and successfully do it were the Soviets, those commies. I mean, there is probably very few countries who lost as much as the Soviets did in World War II. And to just undermine that because of the way we learn history today, looking back, in order to form this anti-communist view during the Cold War in the U.S., is truly an atrocity. The idea that you were in the Russia sanctions thing. Another thing Biden straight up lied about tonight. Russia sanctions. At the time when Bernie voted against the Russian sanctions, he made it loud and clear. It was because the Iranian sanctions were tied with the Russian sanctions. And he believed that voting for the Iranian sanctions would undermine the important Iran deal. Obama's biggest foreign policy achievement, probably one of his biggest achievements, period. And listen, Bernie, as he often is, turned out to be right. And Biden lied and said, that's not why you didn't vote for Russia sanctions. It literally is. He came out and said that then. And every single progressive and leftist advocacy group who knows what they're talking about and hasn't had their mind, hasn't had brain worms develop in their head because they've been taught by the Democratic Party that the Russians are evil boogeymen. Ooh. Anyone who isn't in that friggin' state of mind knows the truth about this. First of all, I believe sanctions are bad, period. Sanctions only hurt the people of the country, not those in power. And the Iranian sanctions, without a doubt, hurt our relationship with Iran, which under Obama was getting better. So yes, Bernie was trying to save the Iran deal by voting against Russian sanctions. Absolute fact. And the extra bonus on top of all that, that shows that Bernie is doubly right, is what we're now seeing in Iran now with coronavirus. They are lacking medical supplies. They don't have what's needed to take this on. Next to Italy, Iran is being decimated probably more than any other country. They do not have the capacity to deal with this. And it is because of our sanctions. You can blame the Iranian government. That's fair and good. They dropped the ball too, no doubt about it. But it is our sanctions that are making it even harder for the doctor and medical community, the doctors and the medical community in that country to take on this situation. And we, as a country, will have the blood on our hands. People don't care. They don't have any empathy. The majority of people in this country don't fucking give a shit. They are in bars right now. They're going about their lives. Even the people who are social distancing are probably, for the most part, most of them aren't going to find the connections. But we as a country are culpable in this. And the Iranian people did nothing to us. They did nothing to us. They could not make it any more clearer earlier this year when our leaders, Trump and the Iranian leaders, were fighting with each other and bombing each other. The people in that country couldn't have made it any clearer. I mean, they were literally saying in the streets, this isn't an attack on America. We have no problem with the American people. It's your leadership. I mean, we are hurting people, real people. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what can make it any clearer to you than a worldwide pandemic that doesn't view borders, it doesn't view politics, it doesn't view race, gender, religion, doesn't view any of that. It doesn't even, and I see people saying this, we got to live our lives, continue to go out and live as we normally do because we can't let it win. We're not fighting terrorism here. We're not showing another group of people that we're not going to let their actions define us and affect what we do. Literally, the coronavirus doesn't give a shit if you're out there showing how brave you are. Fuck, if anything, you going out there living your life as normal, showing how brave you are. I mean, if the coronavirus had a voice, if I could turn it into a character, it's probably saying, oh yes, please fucking go out there, please show me how brave you are and shake hands and rub shoulders with everyone, please do that, please show me how you won't let the terrorists win, please show me that so I could infect all the people you're touching. I mean, literally, we were dealing with, like, I don't know what else to tell you. And if you can't make those connections with how this is all connected, then you weren't watching Bernie Sanders tonight. You're not getting what's going on here. You're not understanding the issues. And I don't think you'll ever get it. And if all you care about is defeating Donald Trump, then go out there and do what you think will defeat Donald Trump. And what will happen is nothing will change. Just like Joe Biden said, nothing fundamentally will change. And you're asking to go back to a normal that will never come back. They'll never be normal again. Life is not going to... Life before this. Life after Trump was never, ever again going back to life before Trump. Just like life after this pandemic will never, ever again go to life before this pandemic. We are witnessing the disruption now. The argument that Joe Biden was making, that people don't want a disruption now. They don't want a revolution now because it's too disruptive. We don't want to disrupt life. We just want to return to normalcy. The disruption is happening now. It is not because of a positive revolution to make our lives better. The disruption is happening now because the issues are laid bare. Because of a virus we were unprepared for a presidency that showed that our system is flawed in every which way. And we are advocating to go back to a time that we can't get back to. We're advocating to go back to a politicking that has fundamentally shown us it is unprepared for the situations that we are dealing with in this modern day. And basically what we're saying is that we don't care that we are being given a history lesson live in person. We are being given a history lesson in real time. We can learn from this right now and go the appropriate pathway right now. And we are basically just, like, literally just saying, fuck it, doesn't matter, we're not even going to try. It's stunning to me. It's stunning to me. I don't know what else to say. Don't know what else to say. We are... We are going with someone who doesn't want to face what is happening. Literally, completely unprepared for the situation that we're in right now. If you think Trump is unprepared, you're asking for someone who is just as unprepared to deal with this situation based on their own policies, who is simply giving you a nice presentation, a pretty package. Are there fundamental differences in terms of Supreme Court and things like that? I mean, there's very few other things, to be honest. Supreme Court, yes. Sorry, my cat is going nuts right now. Calm down, buddy. Calm down, buddy. Where are you going? He just bit me. I guess my cat is telling me that it's time to close up shop for tonight. It's past midnight. The debate, Bernie did great. He could have done better, but I thought he made a much better case than Biden. But fundamentally, I think, unfortunately, the people who get it have already decided on Bernie Sanders. And the people who just aren't seeing what's going on here, I mean, I don't think their minds will be changed. And it's not low information and other bullshit. It's literally, they're very informed. They're very informed by the Democratic Party on who the Democratic Party elites think are electable. I mean, they're very informed by the media, who is constantly manufactured who they think is the better shot against Donald Trump. And fundamentally, unfortunately, Bernie Sanders has made his case crystal clear and perfectly on everything, except to the American public, the Donald Trump issue. And I guess we will see. We will just see. I wish all of you a healthy night. Take care of yourselves. Listen to what needs to be done so we can get through this. I'm going to do more shows. You'll be home. I'll be home. Thinking of more live streams, more shows to do. A lot to talk about. But, yeah. I know there's a lot of comments tonight, but it's late. Post-debate show. We'll all talk more in the coming days. Oh, let me get this in. Patreon.com/Matt Binder. If you could support this show, now is a better time than any to do so. Patreon.com/Matt Binder. These are the people who make this show possible. I know it's going to be tough times financially for people. If you can't afford to do so, I totally get it. But if you can't afford to do so, join these folks. Patreon.com/Matt Binder. Abigail T., Adam Q., Alan B., Amanda H., Andrew C., Andrew H., Angela, Ari R., Baka, Ben, Benji, Bobby, Brosnan, Champagne Kami, Chris, Christine, Colin, Connor, Cracker Barrel, CT, Cynthia, Dan K., Dan M., Dan Huger, Dave K., David Z., Daya, Doug, Dragonslayer, Eugene, Fraz, FTW All Day, Greywinged, Greg, Grim, Hitesh, Igor, Jack, Jameson, Janelle, Jasmine, Jeremy, John B., John S., Jonathan B., Jonathan L., Joseph H., Joseph R., Joyce M., Justin, Katie S., Kaushal, Lance, Lisa, M., Lisa D., excuse me, M., Carol, Mariah, Mark S., Matt Z., Max, user me, Melissa M., Mitch, Michael B., Michael J., Michael M., Mr. Danks, Nicole, Namde Net, Nullstyle, Old Death, Paul, Penelope, Kuster, Rad Dad, Remy, Ryan, Scott, Seth, Sean, Snazzles, Stephen R., Stephen S., Steve A., Struggle Session, TM, Tamney G., Terrence, Hypervisor, This Is Not Pizza, Tina, Todd, Tom, Vance, Why That Thai Guy, and Wootopian. I forgot to mention the super chat tonight. My bad. It's okay. It happens. Oh, let me get to this one question. My point is saying the Soviet Union won against the Nazis as Matt did is silly. It took all of our nations combined and years of grinding war to accomplish that victory. I mean, I'm not saying the U.S. didn't do nothing. I'm not saying the other countries didn't do anything. My point being is strictly the fact that you don't hear about what the Soviet Union did here in this country. That's literally my point. All you hear about is how the U.S. stepped in and suddenly we defeated the Nazis. That's just... what we learn here is absolutely not the case. There's no one saying the Soviets defeated the Nazis single-handedly. But I mean, when it comes to who had more on the line, I mean, the Soviets certainly had more on the line than we did. The Soviets were engaged in that battle long before we were. I mean, if the Soviets fell to the Nazis, think how much stronger the Nazis would have been when we finally stepped into the game and stepped into the battle. And decided to do something about War of the World War. I mean, the idea that anyone's saying we did nothing, no. But the idea that the Soviets are never brought up as playing a huge part is what my point is. I mean, come on now. I mean, we never learn about the losses that the Soviets went through. We never hear about that. That country was like the idea that we always learn about what the U.S. did to engage, and what the U.S. had to do to fight this war, and how everyone's lives changed and everyone pitched it. Yeah, absolutely. But think about where the battle took place. The only attack on the United States was a military base in Hawaii. I mean, the Soviets were literally fighting for the Nazis who were trying to take over their homes physically, right then and there. I mean, and we never hear about that sacrifice. That's my point. I mean, we never learn about what they did. We never learn about how, what the U.S. would have been up against if the Soviets weren't winning battles before. Like, literally, like, no one talks about it in the U.S. We don't learn about that. Obviously, the U.S. played a part, a major part in winning the war. But when it comes down to it, you can abstractively say that the Soviets defeated the Nazis, because it's absolutely true. The Soviets defeated the Nazis. The U.S. also defeated the Nazis. The Russia phobia is just disgusting. It really, that's what it comes down to. And I'm not saying that this person who commented, P.S., is one of these people. But you can see from his understanding of what I was saying that even those beliefs trickle down into the average person's mind to the point where they demonize just these, like, we're talking like just human beings. That's what they were. And they put their lives on the line to defeat the Nazis. And many, 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 many human beings died trying to stop fascism from taking over the world. And you never hear about those human beings. You never hear about their sacrifice in the U.S. I mean, frankly, there's a lot of things we don't learn in the U.S. But the idea that World War II is a major part of U.S. history that we do learn, and how the facts of that war are twisted and contorted in a way that makes it look like the U.S. just walked in and saved the world, is just flat out bullshit. there is probably no one who both suffered more loss and did more to defeat the Nazis than the Soviet Union. Literally, Europe owes a debt of gratitude to the Soviet Union. I don't know what else to say, and you don't learn about that. Does it mean that we downplay what the British Army did and what the other what armies across Europe did? No, they lost and they fought too. But you know what? I recall hearing in school about what the English, the British did, and I recall hearing about the valiant efforts of the European nations that fell. I mean, ridiculous. Pick up a book. Pick up a book. And again, I'm not saying UPS. There are people I'm seeing in the Periscope and Twitch chat. Seems like we got some right-wingers here. Yeah, as Dorian points out, in the U.S. we teach about G.I. Joe myths. That's all you really hear. I mean, Ed in the chat, in the YouTube chat, says Soviets lost 27 million people and between 75 to 80% of the German army was on the Eastern Front. They did most of the heavy lifting. I mean, you literally do not hear about that. Maybe PS did. Maybe PS learned about this in school. I mean, I certainly heard that the Soviet Union were part of the Allies. And I certainly, and let me tell you, I was infatuated with this back in school when I first started learning about it. So it's not like I fell asleep or something. And I've read a lot about it as well, outside of the school curriculum. All right, we'll talk more about this. It's certainly worth discussing. But we'll talk more about this another night. All right, everyone. Have a good night. We'll do more streams. I'll let you know. Follow me on Twitch, YouTube. Just youtube.com/MattBinder. Twitch.tv/MattBinder. Twitter at Matt Binder. Doomedpod.com for the podcast. And other than that, see you all next time on Doomed.